Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your call. It is Election Day. 82 million people have already voted. Millions more will be voting in person throughout the day. Here in California, you can still register in person. The polls close at 8 o'clock tonight. The polls in battleground states will all be closed by 7 p.m. Pacific time. If you're in the Bay Area, we'll be kicking off our live coverage at 7 p.m. at 111 Mina in San Francisco. You can find information at kalw.org and click on Events. The overturning of Roe is playing such a critical role in this election. We have done so many shows about this. Since Roe was overturned in 2022, 14 Republican-controlled states have enacted near-total abortion bans, while 4 states have banned abortion past roughly 6 weeks of pregnancy. Abortion is on the ballot in 10 states, including Arizona, Florida, and Nevada. Women in states like Texas and Tennessee have bravely shared horrific stories about doctors refusing to treat them for desperately needed care because of draconian extreme abortion bans. Today's guest, ProPublica reporter Kavita Serrana, has done extensive reporting on women who have died because of abortion bans in Texas and Georgia. In Georgia, a judge lifted a 6-week ban after the deaths of 2 women who could not access care, Amber Nicole Thurman and Candy Miller. In Texas, more than 100 OBGYNs have signed a letter calling on the Texas legislature to change the state's abortion ban after ProPublica's reporting on the deaths of Jocelyn Barnica and Navia Crane. Joining us is Kavita Serrana, a reporter for ProPublica, an independent nonprofit newsroom that uses the, quote, moral force of investigative journalism to spur reform through the sustained spotlighting of wrongdoing. Hi, Kavita. Thank you so much for joining us. And thanks to you and your colleagues for all of your important reporting.
Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you. Back in July, you had an important piece called Maternal Deaths Are Expected to Rise Under Abortion Bans, but the increase may be hard to measure. You write, it's clear that abortion bans can make pregnancy more dangerous, but experts say it may take years for maternal mortality data to reveal the toll. So what do we know at this point, and how will we determine how many women have died because of abortion bans?
Yeah, that's exactly what spurred us to do some of this reporting ourselves. We, as journalists, you know, we were asking the question, the same question you are, and every state has what's called a maternal mortality review committee, and it's a group of experts who review maternal deaths in the state to look for root causes, what could be done to prevent these deaths. And so they were a natural place to go to ask this question. But most of these committees, especially in these states that have banned abortion, are years behind. Some of them are just now starting to look at the years after Roe was overturned. The other thing is that they publish data, they don't publish case reviews. So that information is still a very small subset. So that's part of the reason that we decided to start looking into this ourselves by requesting death records, reaching out to families, and learning about cases ourselves.
Wow. So you actually are requesting death records.
Yes. In every state, it's different. That's another reason that this is a very slow process. Another reason that a lot of these cases, you know, haven't come to light and may not come to light for years or ever. You know, Georgia has a different kind of way that it keeps death records than Texas. And in some cases, we're going to individual medical examiners, coroner's offices to try to release some of this information. And even then, it's just a small slice of the cases.
You report that even for people who do not develop sudden life-threatening complications, we've heard about so many of these from the brave women who have shared their stories, doctors note that carrying a pregnancy to term is inherently risky because rapid physical and hormonal changes can exacerbate chronic health conditions and trigger new complications. If more people are forced to continue unwanted pregnancies, there are bound to be more pregnancy-related deaths. A study by the University of Colorado estimates a 24% increase in maternal deaths if the U.S. bans abortion federally. They predict the increase would be even higher for Black patients at 39%. This is really important, Kavita, because when we do shows about women who bravely share their stories, we talk a lot about the people who just don't want to be pregnant. And we're just not really hearing those stories. So can you talk about that? How are you all talking about how to also tell the stories that are so important, but for a variety of reasons, women, girls, people who are pregnant do not want to come forward on their own?
That's right. There's so many different situations. And I think the stories that we've reported already just show just the complexity and the different types of situations that people can face. Another story we did earlier this year was looking at a woman who was unable to get an abortion for a very risky pregnancy, but we looked at a whole year in her life after having needed to carry that pregnancy to term because she couldn't go out of state. And because the pregnancy was so dangerous, she had to be rushed at the to the hospital at 26 weeks to give birth to a very premature baby with an extremely traumatic pregnancy. So we looked at the fallout in her life and also what kind of, you know, a lot of these states are celebrating that more babies will be born because of these laws. What kinds of support did the state Tennessee give this mother after having been made to give birth in a situation that she didn't choose? I think also one of our stories is, like you mentioned, these much larger health questions that are not in the moment emergencies. That's such a huge piece of this because these laws, they don't have any exceptions that are for women's health generally. They're only about emergencies to prevent death, which is even under debate in a lot of these situations. But one of the stories we reported about Candy Miller, she had diabetes, hypertension, and lupus, all situations, conditions that can be exacerbated by pregnancy, worsened. You may have to change certain medication that you're on to continue with the pregnancy. And doctors told her that it would be dangerous for her to have another pregnancy. She had already had three children, but there was no exception that she could make use of in Georgia. So that was part of why she chose she turned to other methods.
Again, these are just devastating stories. You have a piece out. Actually, your colleague has a piece out last month, Ziva Branstetter. Georgia judge lifts six-week abortion ban after deaths of two women who could not access care. Abortion clinics rushed to provide care after a judge rejected the state's ban, an order that could soon be paused by a higher court. It's only the latest development since ProPublica reported the deaths of Amber Nicole Thurman and Candy Miller. So what's so really difficult and horrific about all of this is that one day abortion can be legal, the next day it can't. I mean, it's just, you have to wait on judges and courts to make these decisions. And then, you know, over the last couple of months, Trump has been repeatedly saying, well, it's up to the states. So for someone who lives in Georgia, they're just waiting to find out if the law is going to change, and it's completely different in a neighboring state.
Well, in fact, that law has already been, that decision has already been blocked. So the abortion ban is back in place in Georgia. It didn't take very long for a higher court to decide that, and it's going to be challenged again. So you're right, and I think leave it up to the states. I mean, this is a big thing that I think people forget, but these bans in 14 of these states, were put into place even before Roe was overturned, right? Anti-abortion groups, they had a plan for Roe to be overturned. That's what they hoped for. So they had these states' lawmakers pass these bans that would essentially created to go into effect once Roe was overturned. So there was very little public discussion at the time. There was no chance for people to vote on this, or we've had Republican lawmakers tell us in some of these states, even in Tennessee, one who co-sponsored one of these laws, that he didn't really think that it was going to go into effect. He didn't think too hard about what the life or death consequences would be once it went into place. Now it's in place. Tennessee is not a state where there is a option to do a ballot initiative for the residents of Tennessee to vote on this issue. So for all intents and purposes, there's very little, doctors there and people who watch this closely have very little expectation that it can be overturned in the short term.
I just keep thinking about the girls, the women who are being forced to have children that they do not want for whatever reason. And we're just really not hearing about that. Is there any way of getting that data just to find out how many people are being forced to have to carry unwanted pregnancies to term?
That's a good question. That's something we're still looking into. I think, getting more data about pregnancies. There are some research groups that look into this. There's been studies about unwanted pregnancies and the long-term impact. The Turnaway study is a good one for people to look for, which is looking at the past, but gives you insight into what we can expect in the future.
Today, we're speaking with Kavita Sarana, a reporter with ProPublica, an independent nonprofit newsroom. Kavita and her colleagues have done really important, incredible reporting on the outcome of Roe being overturned. They have written about women who are dying because they cannot get the care they desperately need. If you'd like to join us, if you have any questions for Kavita about her reporting, or if you'd like to talk about the role that abortion is playing in this election, how it's affecting you, what are you hearing from your loved ones, friends, colleagues across the country, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Just a few days ago, Kavita and her colleague, Lizzie Presser, came out with a piece, "A Pregnant Teenager Died After Trying to Get Care in 3 Visits to Texas Emergency Rooms." It took 20 hours before a hospital admitted Navia Crane, 18 years old, as her condition worsened. Doctors insisted on 2 ultrasounds to confirm fetal demise. She's one of at least 2 Texas women who died under the state's abortion ban. Kavita, this is just another horrific story. To think that an 18-year-old had to go to 3 emergency rooms to try to get desperately needed care?
Right. When we reached out to her family, they had been with her. They felt that she was ignored as her symptoms were getting worse, and that doctors were more focused on checking if the heartbeat of her fetus was still there. And she was she was screened positive for sepsis. So that means that she had certain vital signs that would warrant, experts told us, more investigation by the time she went to the emergency room for the second time. But instead, she was sent home and was back again within 3 hours, her symptoms getting even worse, as doctors waited 80 minutes to do 2 ultrasounds to confirm fetal demise before they brought her to the preparing to bring her to the ICU, and she didn't get that care in time. Now, Texas, there is a law, a federal law, that is supposed to protect patients to receive emergency care. The Biden administration has argued that this applies also for women suffering pregnancy complications, even if the treatment would be an abortion. But Texas is, no state has fought that harder than Texas, and the Attorney General has argued that the abortion law, supersedes like the interpretation by the Biden administration, and has won in court. So the message to doctors say is that, the Attorney General is looking at these cases to see if if they're following the abortion law, is more concerned with that than whether women are getting the care that they need in a timely manner.
You write that Texas's abortion ban threatens prison time for interventions that end a fetal heartbeat, whether the pregnancy is wanted or not. You spoke with Sarah Rosenbaum, a health and policy professor emerita at George Washington University. She says pregnant women have become essentially untouchables. And 60 Minutes had a piece on Sunday, and they interviewed doctors in Texas who say, in some cases, I can't even talk to my patient without fear of possible jail time. What really has struck you in all of this reporting and the interviews you've done with doctors, especially in a state like Texas?
Right. I think just how unequal, it's really struck me how unequal care has become in America, that I, as a pregnant patient, you know, I was pregnant last year, that I could have, if I suffered complications, if I walked into a hospital in New Jersey where I live or California, I could expect my care might be treated differently than if I were to go to a hospital in Texas or Tennessee. And that, you know, like you said, these doctors are having to make decisions that they have to, you know, some of them have described it to me as, I have to think about my personal interests and conflict possibly with my patient's interests, which is not a situation that, you know, medicine, you know, is ever supposed to be under. But that's because there's a criminal law, like you said, it threatens 99 years in prison, and no doctor has been prosecuted yet. But that also means that people have the question in their mind, what is the boundaries of this? What is the precedent? What, I don't want to be the first one that would be prosecuted over this. And I think also another thing people, you know, is maybe hard to understand is also, it's not just one doctor who makes a decision in these cases. It's a whole medical team that's participating in this kind of care, usually nurses, anesthesiologists, radiologists. And sometimes, you know, it depends if everyone on the team feels comfortable with the care and making that decision, and having to have discussions with hospital administrators or legal team. And legal teams in hospitals also aren't, you know, they're created for dealing with malpractice cases, but this is a criminal law. So a lot of times those legal teams are telling doctors, you're on your own to decide your judgment on this. So it really leaves a situation for patients that is really concerning.
Well, what are you also hearing from people who live in a state like Texas about how they're going to plan for a family? Because this could happen to anyone, no matter what your beliefs are, no matter what your plans are. This could obviously happen to anyone.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, that message is starting to come through, and people who have, like you mentioned earlier, people who've had these near misses cases where they've noticed their care change, or, you know, maybe they had a miscarriage before this law went into effect and it was dealt with a certain way, and they had one after and it was dealt with in a new way. Some of them are saying, you know, I don't want to get pregnant in Texas, or, you know, or feeling that they have to do a lot more research to find a provider that they feel will be straightforward with them and give them the care that they need.
In the case of the 18-year-old Nevaeh Crane, as you write, she was in pain. She was too weak to walk. Blood was staining her thighs. Her mom, Candace Fales, screamed for someone in the Texas hospital to help her pregnant daughter do something. She pleaded on the morning of October 29th, 2023. We learn in your piece that they both thought that abortion was morally wrong. They didn't care whether the government banned it, just how their Christian faith guided their actions. And her mom expected that the doctors had an obligation to do everything in their power to stave off a deadly emergency. And she said they were obviously more concerned. I mean, they were concerned about her daughter, but she said the hospital was more concerned with checking the fetal heartbeat. And this is just devastating, Kavita. Her mom said, I know it sounds selfish, and God knows I'd rather have both of them, but if I had to choose, I would have chosen my daughter. So I've been hearing that people just don't know how far these bans go.
The confusion that they create, right? I think you're right, because these are all situations that no one would expect to face. They're heartbreaking situations, and so people aren't prepared to think through what kind of options they would want to have, how they would expect a doctor to treat them. Because again, this was a wanted pregnancy. Neve and her family were very excited for her pregnancy. So to think that their care again could be different because of Texas's laws wouldn't have crossed their mind, because they weren't even thinking about how abortion could play into medical care.
What are you hearing from Texas politicians? I'm assuming all, if not mostly all, Republicans who support these extreme bans. What are you hearing from them when these stories come out? And for example, in Texas, 100 OBGYNs have signed a letter asking the legislature to change the abortion ban after all of the reporting that you and your colleagues have done.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's not news or surprise that these laws could be harmful to women's health, because from the very moment that they were being written and passed, doctors were saying this. Major medical organizations, even international medical organizations, say that. But these lawmakers who created the laws, they didn't listen. And now, when these stories are coming out, what we're hearing is they're saying, no, these laws are clear. I think the sponsor of Texas's law has said that the law is clear. Doctors just aren't following it correctly, and they need to do more, outreach to explain that you don't have to wait to treat patients. But again, this is 3 years after the first of the laws has gone into effect. The whole time, doctors saying this is unclear, this can cause confusion, this could harm patients. And there's only been one very small change that was made to the law to address two particular situations, still criminalizing them, but basically placing them under a self-defense. It's a way of saying you could be prosecuted, but you could defend yourself by saying that you treated an ectopic pregnancy or previable. Premature rupture of membrane. So that's probably more in the weeds, but just to say that a lot of them are saying that these doctors are committing malpractice. Meanwhile, doctors the whole time have been saying these laws encourage doctors to commit malpractice, to choose between the risk of malpractice or the risk of a felony.
Kavita, your pieces have been devastating to read. You spend months putting all the pieces together and doing the fact checking. You interview the families, you're talking to doctors. What has really affected you the most during this process so far?
Gosh. I mean, like you said, these are devastating stories to spend so much time with them. The grief affects you too. And like I said, I welcomed my first daughter earlier this year. So just living through that process and knowing that others didn't make it, I mean, it's still something that I'm processing.
Wow. And do you plan to just continue asking for death certificates to tell stories of, it's such a horrible question to ask, but I mean, unless things don't change, this is just going to continue to happen.
Well, so many of these stories, like you said, haven't come to light. Even families aren't aware sometimes of like I said, they're heartbreaking situations that people wouldn't expect. So they're not prepared maybe to even ask the kind of questions. So we are still looking into this. That's why if anyone who's listening has heard about something that we should look into, please reach out to us at propublica.org. And yes, we're still looking into this. Each state has a different process of requesting death records, so it's slow, painstaking work, but we have a team of people that are doing it.
Kavita Serrana is a reporter for ProPublica. She and her colleagues have been doing such important work, really introducing us. It's so devastating, introducing us to women, young women who have died because of extreme Republican abortion bans in states like Texas and Georgia. Kavita, thank you so much to you and your colleagues for your important reporting, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And before we go to break, I just wanted to play an ad that people are seeing in many states across this country. And just to let you know, this is pretty disturbing to hear, but this is where we're at. As you know, a number of brave women have been sharing their rape, pregnancy, and abortion stories. Hadley Duvall's stepfather began abusing her when she was just 5 years old, according to police reports. She found out she was pregnant at age 12, and 2 weeks later, she had a miscarriage. Hadley Duvall bravely shared her story in her home state of Kentucky and helped Democratic Governor Andy Beshear win re-election. Over the past few months, she's been working to elect Kamala Harris, and here is an ad featuring Hadley Duvall.
I've never slept a full night in my entire life. I was 5 years old when my stepfather abused me for the first time. I just felt like I was alone on a planet with a monster. I was 12 when he impregnated me. I just remember thinking, I have to get out of my skin. I can't be me right now. Like, this can't be it. I didn't know what to do. I was a child. I didn't know what it meant to be pregnant at all. But I had options. Because Donald Trump overturned Roe v. Wade, girls and women all over the country have lost the right to choose, even for rape or incest. Donald Trump did this. He took away our freedom.
That is Hadley Duvall sharing her story in an ad. She has been working over the past few months to help elect Kamala Harris. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about gerrymandering, voter suppression, and what we can expect from MAGA election deniers across the country today. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.